Hello and welcome to the Dune Minute Podcast, your place to dive deep, minute by minute, into the cinematic adaptation of Frank Herbert's World of Dune. I'm one of your hosts, John.
And I am Zach.
And we are back. It's a new week.
Is it?
It's been about 30 minutes since we last...
Is it a new week, John?
...talked about Dune. Some behind-the-scenes spoilers. We are doubling up on a recording this weekend because I've got some... other life things to attend to next weekend. So,
hey, 10 episodes in a row, baby. Oof. Well, we had a small lunch break.
Yep. Shout out. Shout out the Junior Bacon Cheeseburger at Wendy's.
Absolutely. JBC's way to go. JBC, that's the one for me. That's what I always say. I always say it.
Always. Every day you wake up and that's just the first thing out of your mouth.
Always what I say.
All right. Well, if this is how we're starting this week of episodes out, oh, God. Anyways.
We got to get the energy back up because we left off on some, like, the doldrums
It was a bummer of a week last week. I think the lowest scores ever, maybe, from us?
Could be. It's down there.
I don't know. Martin, fact check it. You have the data. I know
he's
you
not
do.
On staff. We can't just demand things.
I'll demand whatever I want. He can choose to ignore it, but I'll still demand it. Anyways, we are here talking about minute 95 through 96. Zach, by the end of this week, we're going to have 100 episodes of the Dune Minute podcast for part two.
Yep.
That's a lot of fucking talking about Dune. So let's get into it.
I guess that'll be our... No, it won't be our 300th.
No.
No, it'll be a little over 300.
No. Nope.
What am I saying? John, I don't know what I'm saying. I'm trying to count on my fingers how many we've done. So more than four.
Oh, God. The JBC went right to your head, man.
Oh, geez, Louise. Okay.
All right. Yeah. We were talking about minute 95 through 96. And we left off last week with Chani adjusting technology while her boyfriend is talking about nuclear weapons.
Which is normal.
It's a healthy relationship.
That happens all the time. Doesn't it to you?
Not in the relationships I've had.
Oh, okay, well, we're just different, I guess.
All right, well... but yes, Paul last week was recounting how each of the houses have their own nuclear arsenal, and we start this week off with an absolutely batshit insane statement where Paul just says, I could aim the bombs at the main spice fields.
Yeah.
And Chani immediately just stops what she's doing and turns and looks at him like, you want to fucking say that again?
Yep.
Gives the patented Zendaya, are you fucking serious look.
And the last little bit that he says is that he who can destroy a thing has the real control of it.
If that's not one of the like quintessential lines from Dune, I don't know what is.
Very glad that this was lifted straight from the book.
Exactly verbatim. I know we talked with the Litany Against Fear. Mm-hmm. We talked about how there are some slight differences between the book and the movie.
Yeah.
But I think this statement, even though the wording is a little weird, I'm glad that it was a straight one-to-one copy.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. The context in which it's said is very different in the book. But it's talking about the same thing.
Yeah.
Funny enough, so Paul does mention that they, you know, he brings up wanting to destroy the spice fields in the books, but they talk about it in like getting some pure water of life and putting it over a spice blow, and that would be the thing that destroys the spice. It's very hand wavy magic in the book.
Space magic.
Yeah,
Worm magic.
So like this is... I know we shat on the whole like introduction of atomics this late in the movie or this abruptly in the movie last week. This, I think, may be their one saving grace right here is that this makes more sense than the book does.
Yeah. It's everyone knows what a nuclear bomb is capable of doing. So shooting it at the spice fields, sure.
Yeah.
I'm going to go back to a beef that we had in the single digit minutes of Dune Part 1. I think it really fucks with the storytelling.
Okay.
And it is that Paul's film book, right out the gate, explicitly states that spice is used by the guild for travel.
Yep.
And we know, as at least you and I, as very attentive audience members, know that Paul knows that, right now, Paul knows that the guild uses spice for travel. Yeah. When at the end of part one, or at the end of the first book, that is the big revelation.
Correct.
And I think that lessens the impact of Paul knowing exactly what he's doing by detonating the spice fields with the nukes.
Well, no, he knows. So Paul in the books knows at this point what he's doing.
It is at this point?
Yeah, no, he knows the connection between the worms, the spice, and the guilds. He knows it. Other people don't. Because he's had his prescient visions. He knows like what the fuck's going on.
I thought he made that connection after he drank the water of life.
I don't think so. I think he knows at this point.
Maybe I'm going to pause and fact check that.
Maybe I'm wrong.
Because
leave this. Listen, I'm happy to be wrong.
Because I feel like the water of life thing was what truly opened his mind.
No, I think you're right, because they don't talk about blowing up the spice field until much later in the book. And the whole he who can destroy a thing has real control of it doesn't happen until he's talking to the Emperor later, like at the very, very end. So, yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah, it's during the spice coma right after taking the water of life.
What I was thinking of is he knows there's a connection between the worms and spice production, which is something that not most people know.
Right. So I feel like that kind of lessens the impact of that whole revelation, because it's been spoiled for us since the very beginning. But also, like we talked about, there's a lot of things that they choose to do and not do to
move the story along.
Yeah. Nevertheless, he who can destroy a thing has the real control of it.
Yeah.
And Chani's only response to that is, so you can control it and not us. You promised me you don't want power.
Yeah.
And then Paul kind of gaslights her, because he's just like, no matter what I fucking do, you're not going to trust me.
Right.
And then,
at this point, Chani...
Which is a super healthy thing to do in a relationship, by the way.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Well, Chani, this kind of puts Chani back on her... Maffa bullshit, which is make Arrakis Fremen again.
Shut the fuck up.
And she says she doesn't trust Paul and his friend because they're foreigners.
Xenophobic as fuck.
Yeah, gosh, just ping-ponging. And this goes back to like the differences between book Chani and movie Chani. This sentiment is not part of what book Chani gives.
Book Chani is all... Oh, Usul.
Yeah. Well, no one is like this towards him at this point. Like, maybe there was a little bit at the beginning, but once he rode the worm, like, he's good.
Yeah. Man. He is the Lizan al-Gaib.
Yeah. So she calls him foreigners. That's why she doesn't trust him. And Paul's like, no.
I'm not a foreigner. Which, yes, you are.
I mean, yeah,
he is. You weren't born here, motherfucker. You're a foreigner.
Yeah.
I'm not an immigrant. I'm an expat.
Okay, fair enough.
You're only an expat if you're rich.
Yeah, that's very true. So she sees how much like this kind of hurts Paul, or he's like, this is a twisting of a knife that he's been dealing with. And she tries to like walk it back a little bit. She goes, well, you know, not to me, but you know, to the desert you are.
Yeah.
And you know,
but also like, motherfucker rode a worm. Like,
yeah, he's done. He's passed the immigration tests.
He has crossed the Urg.
Yeah.
He's watched out for the spiders and not the big centipedes, but the little ones that I will remind you are about 4 feet long.
And if you really want to get into it, like, the Fremen aren't even from here, like, if you go back far enough. So, like, we're all foreigners in this land. Oh, my God,
shut the fuck up.
So, he asks, or Paul explains to her that, you know, he's doing what he's doing for her and the Fremen. And he asks again, he's like, you know, do you believe me? And after a pretty long pause and a rather inspecting look from Chani, she goes, I'll talk to Stilgar. Which is not an answer to that question.
Nope. It's not the answer that Paul wanted, that's for sure.
No, I don't think it's an answer at all. Like, you have agency, Chani. You can make up your mind.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's interesting because, like, there are a lot of moments where they kind of, especially, you know, from here on out, where they're stripping a lot of Chani's agency from her.
Yeah.
And other people are making those decisions for her, which is pretty fucked up.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, just the degradation of her character will continue for a while.
It's going to continue through the end of the movie.
Mm-hmm. So after a few seconds of looking back and forth between the two of them, we cut outside, where we are behind a shadowy, blurry silhouette just staring out at a big rock outcropping in the desert. And that's where our minute ends.
Yep. I don't have much to say. Yeah. I think we got all our points across at this one.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I sprinkled my book notes in throughout. So nothing else from me.
All right. Well, I think we'll call it there. And if you want to continue the conversation, the Dune Minute is on Blue Sky at DuneMinute.com. And you can email DuneMinute@gmail.com if you'd like to get in touch. We'll be back tomorrow with another episode, and we'll see you then.
See ya.